Happy Friday, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to an early kickoff to your weekend as we talk some Disney here with you for the next 40 or so minutes. Thank you so much for downloading or streaming the show. Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by your friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. Just reminding you that if you want to give the ultimate gift to the family this holiday season, give a gift of travel. Head down to a Disney destination. Take a Disney cruise as a family here in 2018. Go down to Walt Disney World. Stay at a new resort. Have some fun experiences. And think about the excitement on the kids' faces when they find out they're going to their favorite place with the family here very soon. We can still do that for you. So just drop by themagicforless.com. Check out all the specials. And while you're there, fill out that free no obligation quote. And an agent will get back to you right away. And you're going to be working together to plan an amazing Disney vacation that you'll remember for years, long after the Furbies have been put on the shelf. So again, support the Be Our Guest podcast. Drop by themagicforless.com today. Let them know you heard about them here on the show and plan that next Disney or even Universal adventure. Again, over at themagicforless.com. Today's show also brought to you by our Amazon affiliate link over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. As you do some last minute scrambling to get ready for Christmas here this weekend, please click through our Amazon affiliate link before you do any of your online shopping. Again, it's BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Then do all the shopping you like. And when you check out, Amazon gives us a little bit of a kickback there. It helps support the podcast, pay for the bandwidth, the hosting, and all that good stuff that goes along with the podcast, because we always want to make it awesome for you. So again, BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon as you do all of your online shopping this holiday season.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1263 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and an agent over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. We hope that the force is strong with you today because we are talking Star Wars. No spoilers. We're not talking about the movie. I should do that because I know Scott didn't get his opening night ticket like I did. I could totally throw him off. I'm probably sending him messages all day via iMessage with all kinds of fake spoilers. But that's just what you do when you have good friends. So anyway, we're going to be talking about how to bring out your inner Jedi or Sith, if it comes to some of my kids, when you're down at Walt Disney World. How to make the most out of that Star Wars stuff you can do on your next Walt Disney World vacation, because there's a lot for the Disney fan and Star Wars fan, and I think a lot of those things merge down at Walt Disney World. So joining me today, your favorite Padawan learner. She's from a DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less. Ricky, do or do not. There is no try today. What's going on?
May the force be with you. I got something.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. You know, you gotta focus because it's inside you. It's an energy field that surrounds us and penetrates us and binds the galaxy together. That's what it does.
Well, that's lovely.
Well, this is going to be a great show, I can tell, but at least I know that the force is strong with our other co-host. We have Pam Forrester.
Yeah, I would say the force is probably strong with Pam. Yeah.
Way stronger, like Yoda strong. We have Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. Pam, how's it going on this fine Friday?
I know. I am so looking forward to this movie. We are not going last night because we aren't going to go back in time, but anyways, yes. but I'm so looking forward to this. We've actually been prepping by watching the whole saga of movies, and we watched Rogue One actually this weekend, and each time I watch it, it sort of becomes more and more sad, in a nice way. I mean, they're all very heroic. They know what's going to happen. And, you know, it was amazing to me that if any one of them hadn't done what they needed to do, it wouldn't have been carried off. So anyways, I am absolutely a Star Wars nerd, really and truly. I can't wait to catch up with all of our friends there. Looking forward to seeing what Rey and Kylo Ren are doing.
But you know what? Like, you know, by now I've seen it. You know, if you're listening, as the show releases late on Thursday night, I'm probably seeing it at, because we're going to the first showing here in St. Louis. Very excited for that. But like, it dawned on me earlier this week. Again, I got this right before episode 7 that, like, I'm sweating because, like, in episode 7, I had started to hear rumblings that one of the main characters was going to, you know, be killed. And then, not going to say anything, no spoilers. But, you know, and I haven't seen the movie yet, obviously. But, you know, it's like, all of a sudden, I'm worried. Like, what if something happens that I'm not happy with? I have to sit there and sit on that for 2 years. You know, like, oh.
That's true.
Like, you don't think about that stuff. Like, oh, my goodness. So, anyway, I'm sure it'll be an awesome movie. I'm sure I'll probably be stressed out. We'll talk about it once everybody sees it. But we're going to get down to Walt Disney World again, spoiler-free, talking about the awesome immersive experiences. And Disney's really taking this to the next level here in the next couple of years with the Star Wars line. What's the official title, Ricky? You should know that. I can't think of it off the top of my head. What's it going to be?
Galaxies,
it's not Star Wars.
Galaxy's Edge.
Galaxy's Edge, and they got the planets and everything now. So it's going to be, you know, the Star Wars Hotel. I mean, it's going to be incredibly immersive come the next, you know, half a decade or so. But right now, it's still, it's an awesome place. So we're going to talk about where to take the young Padawans, you know, the young Star Wars fans, and even those of us that are 44 and still think they're young Padawan learners and want to be Jedi still. You know, we still want the robes and the lightsabers. And I'm going to lead off. Of course, most of this is going to come your way at the studios, but you can find things here and there outside the studios, but mostly Disney's Hollywood Studios. And I want to say the first thing is a parent, okay? As a parent who, and I think it's the greatest thing about Star Wars too, is that, you know, I'm 44 and I grew up, you know, Star Wars, the original episode 4 came out when I was 4 years old, 1977. And so it's been in my life, my whole life, you know, it's been there all the time. And now with my kids, with the Star Wars franchise coming back around, the kids now that are 10, that are 15, that are 21, Star Wars has been around their entire lives, you know, so they're invested in it too. But I think the coolest thing out of all the stuff, there's lots of Star Wars stuff to do. But I think still the coolest thing, especially for a parent, is to get your kids to go through Trials of the Temple, or, you know, where the kids battle, whether it be Kylo Ren or Darth Vader, you know, the bad guys, the Sith, over at Disney's Hollywood Studios, kind of backed by Backlot Express and Star Tours. There's something to be said for that firsthand experience of having a Jedi walk them through the training. You know, they get a lightsaber or a robe, and they learn the ways of the Force there on the stage, and then they have to put it to the test with, you know, one of the evil guys from the Star Wars franchise popping out, you know, 6-7 feet tall, and, you know, telling them, you know, join us or die. You know, they probably don't say or die because it's Disney, but they probably say join us or, you know, you don't get a Mickey bar, forget how it goes.
Wow, this got dark real
fast.
Yeah,
I don't think, because Mallory did it. But the thing was, like, the picture we took home, you know, you go home with hundreds or thousands of pictures by the time your Disney vacation's over, but you always find those few that you really, really, really want to share to your friends and family, you know, at work and back home. And the one that I showed, it was a great picture of Mallory crossing lightsabers with Darth Vader. You know, Darth Vader back, you know, he was like 8 foot tall. At the time, Mallory was only like 6 or 7. You know, it was just such an epic picture. You know, it's Mallory battling Darth Vader in this, hopefully, good versus evil, not, you know, she's going to go to the dark side too kind of thing. Some days we wonder. But, you know, it's one of those things, like, where can you do that anywhere else? Where can she physically battle with lightsabers with Darth Vader? So I think that's where you start. Pam, what do you say to that? I know you're a huge Disney fan, but I think that is kind of the best of the Disney experiences when it comes for the Star Wars fan down there.
I agree. It's so incredibly interactive. I mean, I think that that's one of the things that, even though, you know, I don't have a child who is young enough to still participate in that Jedi training, right? It's still so fun to watch it because these kids are serious as heck about this, or a lot of these kids are. They're like, you know, gonna battle Darth. They're going to battle Kylo Ren. They're taking this all very serious. And I love to see that. It just shows how much they have bought into the theming, the story. I hate to call it an illusion, but this whole thing that Disney has created for them. And I think it's really kind of genius. And it's just so it's really heartwarming almost to watch this, to see those kids just get so into it. And as a parent, I think those are the kind of experiences you want your child to have. You don't want them to just participate in something. You want them to believe. And they do when they're doing this.
Yeah, because it is. It becomes real. It's a fantasy, but it becomes real just like everything else does at Walt Disney World. And, you know, so many of the kids and so many of the parents have seen the movies countless times. And, you know, this is where it jumps off the screen. I mean, Darth Vader is physically right there speaking to you, battling, you know, lightsabers with you. It's amazing. And I will say, and I'm going to throw this to Ricky too about this, because as much as I love Star Wars, and I am a big Star Wars fan, I mean, I'm as big a fan as anybody is out there. I love Star Wars, but I can't do Star Tours. It makes me ill. Like, the simulators get me. So many times the family will go on Star Tours because they all like it. And I'll just sit over at Backlot Express, grab a soda, and I will just, like you said, Pam, I will watch kids that are not my kids, that are just some random kids, and it's awesome. You don't have to have your kid there necessarily. I mean, it's better when it's your kid, obviously. But you just see these kids, like, this is it, man. This is, I mean, some of these kids, like, I, you know, they are now officially a Jedi, and they're going to kill Darth. They're going to bring order to the galaxy before lunch at Backlot Express. They're going to make sure everything's squared away. You know, we're going to take care of things. Yoda's told me what to do. I'm going to whack him in the knee. And I've seen some funny stuff too, because, you know, I mean, not really assault, but I've seen like this one little girl that is, I mean, I thought she was going to blow out Darth's ACL with the shot that he wasn't expecting, you know, and he almost had to force choke her for real. And I was like, this is not going to be pretty, you know, here in the studios. But, you know, kids, you know, it's that old thing. Kids do the or say the darndest things, you know, they'll do the darndest things when you hand them a weapon. You know, I mean, like when they're six, they don't know. So, yeah, Ricky, have you ever stopped and really taken it in? Because those kids are hilarious over there. That's what I like. You don't know what's going to happen.
Oh my gosh, of course I've stopped and, you know, watched over there. And, you know, there are definitely some very entertaining moments that happen during Jedi training. And it is such a, you know, more often than not, I'm just kind of, because I don't have a kid that's participating, I'm kind of just watching whenever, like, I'm walking past, you know, I'll maybe stop for a few minutes and then and move on. But every time I watch, there's always just something entertaining going on. And, you know, a few years back, they had that viral video of that little girl who, you know, who knelt down to Darth Vader, which was just the most hysterical thing ever. And, you know, so you're always, it's an entertaining show to watch. Even if you're just, you know, passing by like I usually am, there's definitely some entertainment value to that show. So don't miss it, even if you're, you know, especially if you're just walking by, make sure you stop at least for a few minutes and hopefully get sucked in.
Absolutely. So. Now, while we're in that area, because obviously this is kind of out right on a stage in front of Star Tours at Disney's Hollywood Studios, and there have been updates. Obviously, this is one of the great things about, you guys remember Star Wait when we were waiting for the Star Wars 2.0 or Star Tours 2.0 with the touring plans? God, this seems like forever ago. We did ads for that and everything, and they had people staked out there waiting for, man, those were the days. I forgot. That was like at the beginning of social media. But, you know, like Henry was down there and everybody. So anyway, you know, now the greatest thing is like they can change it out pretty easily to add in new scenes from new movies. And Ricky, you were there to experience some of this, right?
I have. So on my recent trip just a couple weeks ago, I was able to go to Star Tours and catch the brand new updated version of Star Tours. Now, I don't want to give too much away, but it basically what Disney has done is they are taking it, and instead of making it kind of a random thing, or at least currently, I don't know what it will be in the future, but at least right now, they're making it set up so that it goes along with the new trilogy. So you go to the scene that you would go to from episode 7, and then you go to the scene here now for episode 8. And for those of you that have seen the movie, the episode 8 now, or have maybe probably seen the trailers for episode 8, you will recognize this place. And then you end up in a spot that will look very familiar to those of you who stay in touch with the news. And that is a new planet called Batuu that you will learn, I'm sure, a lot more about over the next few years. So it's very, the whole thing is very, I really like the way they've done it. and setting it up so that it goes along with the current storyline and it really fits in with what everybody's seeing on the screen right now with Star Tours. I'm sure that people who are, you know, big Star Wars fans kind of hate the fact that the randomization is out of it, you know, but in a weird way, like, I always got the same stupid planet, so I never really got to see anything random anyway.
No stupid planets. They're just different planets.
I didn't get different planets.
Okay, here's the question everybody's wanting to know. Like, they're yelling at their iPhones right now. They're like, Ricky, just answer this one question. Are there Porgs in Star Tours? Because I don't know. Again, no spoilers because we're recording this way before the movie came out still. Any Porgs? You know what a Porg is? I don't even know what a Porg is. That little fuzzy guy. Kind of looks like he should have been in, you know what? I think he escaped from the Captain EO video, to be honest. I think he was a backup singer or something.
Do you want me to say anything? I mean,
was there one there? Don't give anything away, but was there a Porg in there? I want to see a Porg.
So let's put it this way. I know what a Porg looks like. I did not see a Porg in the scenes that I saw. However, does it mean that maybe I missed it? You know, like there was a little one in the background or something like that I might have missed. Like, it's not a forefront thing. Let's put it that way. So I didn't see a Porg in the forefront.
I just like saying Porg. You know, it just sounds kind of cool. I mean, like the Porg, because I have a Fuzzball here in the studio from Captain EO. Like, he could be like a cousin of Fuzzball. I mean, he could have, like, you would have been in Captain EO, you wouldn't have batted an eye if he'd have been on the ship. You know, like,
to me, a Porg is kind of like a mix between a penguin and an owl. I don't know if that's what they were going for, but that's what a Porg looks like to me.
Where do you fall on Porgs?
Penguin and an owl.
It has similar owl colors, and it kind of waddles like a penguin. I don't know. It kind of looks like both.
That's the question of late 2017. What's a Porg, and what do you do with it?
Oh, and a hamster. Gotta add the hamster.
There you go. The hamster dance. Yeah. Anyway, so Pam.
Owl, a hamster, and a penguin. That were smashed together. That's what a Porg looks like to me.
That's dying questions we want to know. All right, Pam. So what other experiences? Obviously, there's so much to do. We're not going to talk about them all today. We're just kind of hitting some of the best is for the Star Wars fan. So what else would you suggest don't miss if you're a Star Wars fan down at Walt Disney World?
So for me, I absolutely think that the fireworks over at Hollywood Studios are a highlight for Star Wars fans. First of all, in all the things that people love about Walt Disney World, right, and the association with the Disney company, how many of those things has their own fireworks show? I mean, Mickey doesn't have his own fireworks show. You know, Star Wars has its own fireworks show. And I think that's just so cool. They've utilized some really cool techniques too, with a lot of projections and cool lighting effects. And of course, the great quotes from the Star Wars movies, the great music from the Star Wars movies. There are certain times when you're just standing there listening to it that you know exactly where that song is from. And it feels, you know, you feel the intensity, right? Because you know what's going on in the movie at that time. So they also have some great scenes from the movies that they really work into all of the, you know, so many of the themes, the things that they're projecting onto the theater there in Hollywood Studios, that it's just so awesome. I really love it. As a Star Wars fan, it gets two thumbs way up from me.
That's right. And, you know, one of the things, too, about the fireworks at the studios, the Star Wars fireworks, is that one is that you're surrounded. I mean, inevitably, there's huge Star Wars fans around you. And so, you know, when when certain characters say certain things, you know, it's like there's a gasp, you know, especially you can tell the folks that are seeing the show for the very first time, and lots of them are. It's very cool to be there with, like, your kind, you know, the fellow Star Wars geeks, you know, and also there's I think this is true. And again, I didn't see Star Wars in the theater back in 77, but what I've heard, and I've listened to lots of podcasts on this, is that one of the things that really sold the picture initially right from the get go was at the beginning of episode 4. There's that scene where the Star Destroyer kind of comes over the, it almost has an illusion of coming across the, it's not across the screen, but almost over the seats, you know, like it comes into the shot and it just keeps coming and coming. It's huge. You know, it's a big old Star Destroyer. And you get that same feeling at the fireworks show. Like, you feel like a Star Destroyer is descending upon Disney's Hollywood Studios and you're in the middle of the battle. I mean, it's immersive, like, and it's a fireworks show, but it's also, you know, and again, my wife will make fun of me all the time because I'm an emotional kind of guy. You know, I'll shed a tear here and there at a, you know, a heartfelt moment, you know, and it's like, whew, there are a couple moments in this, man. Whew, don't say it, man. Don't say we're home. I'm about to cry right now, man. Don't say it. You know, it's like, but I mean, if you're invested in those movies, man, it's an emotional roller coaster. It's awesome. So good call there. All right, Ricky. So what else? What's not to be missed for the Star Wars fan?
Well, I think that, you know, kind of key in the whole Star Wars opportunities at Disney's Hollywood Studios right now is going to be the Star Wars launch bay. And in particular, the special character meet and greets that occur there. So guests can meet three different characters currently. They can meet Chewbacca, they can meet Kylo Ren, or they can meet BB-8. I gotta tell you, when you meet Kylo Ren, like, dude, that's intense. Like, I'm gonna tell you right now, that is an intense experience. Because he's pretty menacing, I'm not gonna lie, and he talks to you, and you know, it's kind of scary. So yeah, that's pretty cool. I also really enjoyed when I got to meet BB-8, because you know, he's just so adorable, and you know, he talks to you, but you know, you also can't kind of understand him, so they have translators who can help help along the situation there. But I really think, I mean, the Star Wars launch bay overall has a ton of great stuff for Star Wars fan. Actually, I had one of my best character experiences here. And actually, Pam and Steve and Hannah were with me on it. I don't think you were there, but definitely Steve and Hannah were there. So I was in the launch bay and I was looking at I'm gonna sound so not smart. What's the good side? The Jedi?
Jedi, yes.
Right? Okay. All right. I was looking at the Jedi stuff. And some stormtroopers came in, and they basically were telling me that I was looking at the wrong side stuff, and I needed to be looking at, you know, the Resistance side stuff. So
the Resistance is also the good side.
Oh, not the good Resistance. What's the bad side?
It's called the dark side. You know, okay, it's real hard. The dark side.
I told you, I don't know the Star Wars stuff. Yeah. All right. See, this is why Ricky should not come up with topic ideas that she doesn't know things about.
Yeah, this show was Ricky's idea, by the way. So anyway,
yeah, go ahead. By the way, Ricky's idea. So so they were trying to pull me over to the dark side stuff. So they were like, you know, saying, no, you need to look over here. This is what you need to look at. And I played with them. I was like, no, I look over here. And they were like, no, over here. And it was just this whole big thing. And it was seriously one of the most fun character interactions that I've ever had in my entire life. But they have, you know, obviously stuff from the movies. They have lots of galleries, artwork type thing. Merchandise, of course, if you are looking for lots of merchandise, this is one of the key places that you can go to do that. Collector's items, lots of collector's items. There is a theater show that is attached to the launch bay that kind of shows from the creative minds. It's like a short video that is from like directors and writers and producers who helped to bring the saga to life. And so that's kind of what's there. Now, one thing that's not there anymore that I know that will make people kind of sad is you used to be able to trade with the Jawas, and now that is no longer a thing. So sorry to burst anybody's bubble there for those who might have been looking forward to trade with them, but they are no longer there. So
that's because they shot you with that like laser gun that they used on R2-D2, and you got like paralyzed, you know, because you're about the height of R2-D2.
Yep, you said,
yeah.
I am about the height of R2-D2. Yeah, you've also said a lot of things. Again, because I don't know the difference between the Resistance and, you know, the dark side, but I can't, you know, I don't know.
Wait, I'm gonna be Ray for a second. Are you with the Resistance? I'm with Resistance. Where are you going?
I don't know. I go to the movie once and watch it, and then I'm done. So that's about my experience with Star Wars.
So, I want to echo a couple things you're saying, because those were kind of some of the things I want to bring up, is that, you know, just being in the atmosphere, and this is definitely going to grow over the next, you know, couple of years. I can't imagine what it's going to be like in Galaxy's Edge. It's going to be incredible. But right now, even kind of outside of Launch Bay, you know, near Voyage of the Little Mermaid and Playhouse Disney, all that stuff, you know, like the Stormtroopers will randomly walk around And those are some of the coolest interactions when they'll just say funny stuff to you, because the Star Wars, you know, Stormtroopers over the years have become kind of comical characters. You know, I mean, they're supposed to be menacing and mean and all that, but they're actually kind of comic relief. They're funny and they'll say stuff, you know, like you said, they'll have interactions with guests, and those are kind of on happenstance. They're almost like Streetmosphere type stuff, you know, at this point, just walking around, interacting with the guests here.
Yeah.
And it's fun. I mean, because it's Star Wars, you know, tie in there, but also you mentioned merchandise. And you have opportunities for things like build your own lightsaber, you know, and kids get such a kick out of that because, you know, not only are you going home with a cool, you know, lightsaber, but it's your own. You know, you decided what kind of, and they all have names like the handle of it, the blade, what color it's going to be. Is it going to be red? Is it going to be blue? You know, depending on if you want to be on the light side or the dark side, you know, it's got, you know, little trinkets on it and so forth. So not only are you getting cool customizable or you know, merchandise opportunities, but you can customize that to meet, you know, your child's, you know, will technically be different than everybody else's, which is kind of a cool thing. So it's an experience and a merchandise opportunity. So Pam, what else? I mean, I just want to try to hit as many of these things as we can before we duck out of here, but you know, lots of Star Wars stuff.
There is. And for those who are looking for a little Star Wars twist to their meal experience, of course, you can head over to Backlot Express and you can eat some Star Wars themed treats like the burger and the chicken and waffles and all those kind of things. That's kind of cool. But also in around Hollywood Studios, they many of the locations carry these Star Wars either cupcakes or treats or little things like that. Of course, you see BB-8 as a Rice Krispie treat almost all over the place, but there's a cool Darth Vader cupcake, and they also have seasonal stuff available too. So I think that's a big plus in terms of having the, you know, in terms of having the Star Wars experience. Everyone likes to eat a little Star Wars food.
Yeah, totally. And those Darth Vader cupcakes with the chocolate in the inside, whew, so good. I love those things. Oh, can't wait to have one.
Darth Vader cupcakes. Now that I can get a hold of right there.
So
I'm okay with that. Yeah.
I will go to the dark side for Darth Vader cupcakes.
I will gladly go to the dark side for chocolate and peanut butter.
Emperor, you are now. You own me because I need Darth Vader cupcakes. That's how it is. It gets me through my stomach. You know, like Darth Vader in Return of the Jedi went the total wrong way to try to get Luke. He should just offer cupcakes. Boom. Done. Game over. Franchise ends. It's all over. So maybe that's what happens in episode 8. We don't know. I mean, maybe the porgs are, you know, they dish out cupcakes. I don't know. We'll have to find out altogether. One of the things I will say, though, about Star Wars coming to the Disney parks, like in the last decade and in the last 2 or 3 years, you know, very extensively, is that it's just so fun to see, you know, even at the Magic Kingdom, Animal Kingdom, I mean, it's out of place, you know, in Epcot and so forth, but you see the kids walking around, you know, with lightsabers and, you know, with their Star Wars stuff on. I mean, that is, you know, for those kids, that's a Mickey Mouse they're going to see. They want to go see their Star Wars heroes, and it's just fun to see little boys, and especially nowadays, little girls, because I'm so glad that they made Rey the heroine of episode 7. And of course, Princess Leia was definitely a heroine through the previous movies. But, you know, my daughter is just as excited to become Rey as I was to become Luke when I was her age. You know, and I love that it's equally balanced now, because I want to say back in the day, you know, not as many girls were into Star Wars as there were boys, you know, maybe in the 70s and 80s. But I would say it's pretty much, Pam, what do you think on that? I mean, I'm glad that, you know, to see that, because you have a daughter, I have daughters, you know, I think it's cool, because when you go down there and you see the 6, 7, 8 year olds now, it's both, you know, it's not just a boys thing at all.
No, I agree. I think it's always great to have a female heroine. And I think, you know, I hate to see talk when people are like, you know, putting down to the Disney princesses because they feel like, you know, they need rescued or not. So many of those princesses were very capable in their own right. But Rey just demonstrates it in a way that, you know, it's very front and center. And she is such a great character. And she is a good example for this, that, you know, there are some things that really that she really makes happen, and she's really a driving force in the movie. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how that moves forward in that space. But yeah, everyone likes to see, I think, a female lead character. And, you know, unfortunately, like so many Disney movies too, we don't see, you know, much of Rey's parents, but, you know,
that's in true Disney fashion. Yeah, exactly. Yes. I mean, that's just, if she had parents, we couldn't get her in the park. You know, it just doesn't work that way.
So anyways, but yeah, I think everyone likes Rey, and it's awesome to see her.
It is. Okay. So as we close this out, and this is a tough one, but I just wanted to ask you guys this. What are your hopes for Galaxy's Edge? You know, when it opens here in the next couple of years, I mean, obviously, we've been speculating on this. We're getting little nuggets, you know, here and there. We're getting a lot of nuggets, actually, by now. But what are the hopes that maybe 5 years from now that we hope Galaxy's Edge provides? What do we hope maybe it does and it doesn't? I don't know, Pam. So, you know, because this is going to be here's what I'm thinking. I'm hoping that it doesn't. It's hard to say this because it's going to be extremely popular. It's going to be because I remember Star Wars weekends. We went down for Star Wars weekends, you know, at the studios back in the day, and they were crazy. They were awesome. They were crazy, but they were awesome. And it was hot and people were in Jedi robes and got all kinds of crazy stories. People watching was incredible. I just hope that with Galaxy's Edge opening, and of course, it's going to be crazy at first, like anything is, kind of like Pandora was. But what I see is I see Pandora's opening, as crazy as that was. For Star Wars, I see this like on a magnitude of like times 10 because of the loyalty and the length of the generations that love Star Wars. I think this is going to be unprecedented for months, the demand to get into the studios when this opens. Am I wrong, Pam? I mean, what are you seeing here when Galaxy's Edge comes online?
Yeah, I mean, I think it will be interesting to see how it really makes the crowds build. I'm sure that it will, especially for that park. I mean, I think the thing that's always very puzzling about this to me as a Disney fan and someone who can stand back too and look at this all transpire is that something's insanely popular and people are mad at Disney because so many other people want to go see it. And
That's true.
You like it too, and you want to be there, but you're mad at Disney because of whatever, X, Y, and Z. I mean, you know, you see more backseat driving, Monday quarterbacking than you ever do. Everyone and their brother knows how to more effectively run a Disney park. Let me just tell you that. So I will just say that whole thing. I think it's just always so amazing to me. So anyways, but that being said, it will be popular. So if you're someone who doesn't want there to be a line, or doesn't want to have any delay in experiencing it, you know, probably go in the first month or two is not going to be something that you want to do. But just like with Pandora, after the first week or two of it being open, there weren't lines outside of Pandora, like to get into the land even like there were. I mean, that really only lasted a very short period of time that you had to wait to even get let into Pandora. And now you can come and go as you please, you know, just as much as you would like. So anyways, I'm just saying, it's just, to me, it's a fantastic phenomenon in a lot of reasons that you get to see all the comments on social media and everyone who knows how to do it better. So I don't know. It'll be interesting.
It's going to be super interesting because I think that the thing is that, you know, now we live in the days of social media where every picture is going to be out there instantly. And people are going to have, like you said, they're going to Monday morning quarterback everything that's done. But Ricky, and I kind of heard you like nodding with me or, you know, making some comments that I think with Star Wars, it's just such a unique beast that it draws from so many devoted fans. I mean, I am talking devoted fans. I mean, Pandora and Avatar is like it's like a drop in the bucket in Lake Michigan.
Pandora and Avatar. Yeah, it's a drop in the bucket.
You know, people wanted to see the environment of Pandora at Animal Kingdom, but there wasn't, I don't know anybody that like, you know, loved the franchise of Avatar. You know, you might have enjoyed the movie, but you weren't invested in the franchise. I mean, honestly, I've had guests that I've booked and their kids' names are characters from Star Wars movies. I'm not kidding. I mean, and don't get me wrong. There's probably going to be a lot of little girls named Rey here in the next few years. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just that's how it is. And Luke's and Leia, you know, I mean, it happens. I mean, people are insane for Star Wars. So I just think this could be like, you know, like they were worried about opening day of the Magic Kingdom back in 71. I mean, I picture like that it could almost be something like that for just a couple weeks, you know, maybe a month, maybe longer. I don't know. Maybe I'm overthinking this. I don't know.
No, I agree with you. And I think that Disney has two ways of handling this. And it depends on which way that they really want to go. I get why they would want to go both ways. So they could do something where they have their big grand opening day, and that's it. And it's kind of like they did with Pandora, and that's the day you can start going in the land, and for, you know, for the most part. And, you know, you're going to have long lines and blah, 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 blah. And, of course, that looks great for, like, social media aspects and buzz and everything like that. But what I kind of really hope that they do as far as the opening of Galaxy's Edge goes is I really kind of hope that they have kind of not just 1 month, but a few months kind of soft openings. And I do think that it will help that Disneyland will open first. I think that Disneyland will probably get it worse because it opens first and more of the diehard people, fans, will want to go to the one that's opening first, you know, to see that first, you know what I'm saying? So I feel like maybe Disneyland will get it worse in a way because, as we know right now, Disney's Hollywood Studios is supposed to open after Disneyland's opened. So I still think that it would be smart of Disney to give it a couple months of a test and adjust system, you know, way of testing things, of allowing the crowds to kind of be there but not be super overwhelming, of not having the 7-hour waits to get into the land or whatever, you know, because I know that it's going to be like a crazy ridiculous amount of waits to get into the land. I just really think that to be smarter, I think that they should go with a longer, hey, this is the sneak preview phase of it. But I can easily see why they would go with a boom, it's open, you know, for the press of, oh my gosh, look how long people are waiting in line for Star Wars, you know. So but I think that they would be smarter to do it the other way. But well, that's just me.
A couple things
As a fan of, you know, someone who would actually want to be in the park, it would be a smarter way of doing it.
I just, you know, I'm excited. You know, don't get me wrong. I can't wait to walk around this land. It's going to be something like you've never experienced before. But I mean, I am just as excited to see how this is all going to play out. Because a couple things. You mentioned like having soft openings. In the day and age right now of social media, is there a such thing as soft opening? Say you're down there, okay? And so you're at the Magic Kingdom and you see on Twitter, oh my God, you can go in Galaxy's Edge all of a sudden. I mean, like, there's so many people that are going, whoosh. I mean,
it'll be packed
within an hour.
But, yes, you are correct. It will pack in the locals like that, for sure, absolutely. And you're going to get the people then who make the weekend trips up or something like that. But it won't be as massive as a crush as it would be of a, hey, guess what? We're opening up this specific day. This is the day we're opening up. And so it literally brings all of the masses all on one day. I mean, yes, you're going to still have crowds those other days, but at least it won't be everybody descending on it all at once, which is kind of what happened with Avatar, with Pandora, is they had a few days of annual pass holder soft openings, but really it wasn't the easiest to get into that pass holder preview thing, first of all. And second of all, you really did have to be living down there to be able to participate because you only had a window or someone like me who could drive down there for, you know, the 7 hours really quickly and come back. Like, you really had to have to be able to take advantage of the opportunity. Whereas I think if they had something that went on for a couple months of a test and adjust type situation like that of, hey, we're going to let the crowds in. Yes, they're going to be busy, but it's not going to be this massive, huge crush of hours long just to get inside the land. You know, I think that would just be more beneficial for the guest overall.
Yeah, I agree with you. But, I just look at it and I'm just wondering because, like, here's the other thing I see. Okay, here's the second thing is that, you know, there was that crush for Pandora when it opened and it was, you know, justified. It was neat when you got in there. It's such a beautiful and amazing looking environment that you get to experience outside of the two attractions. But with the devotion to Star Wars, I can see people that are willing to camp with their kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, will go to create, like, you know, like people do for like Apple devices and, you know, to be the first in the theater for the new Star Wars movie or whatever. I mean, I could see, you know, especially people that don't have kids that just want to be there and camp. I mean, 7 hours would be nothing. I could see people like if Disney let them like camp for like 7 days, you know, like it's like the amount of devotion in Star Wars fans is like unreal. Like
but
nothing
that's
else.
What I'm saying, like you would be able to kind of head that off a little bit if you had the soft opening period. If you had that dead
I know,
date.
But think of all the people that are mad because it's open and ready to go, and they're not going to be in it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like a no-win situation. Yeah,
that's
I know.
He doesn't do that for 2 months. Think about if it soft opens for May and June, and you're there as a guest and a huge fan, but you can't get in because you're not an annual pass holder.
For annual pass holders. I didn't but say you that. Can't,
but if they're just going to let everyone in, then just let... I don't see how it would be different.
I don't know. I feel like it would take a little bit of the pressure off. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying if you have a specific date, I don't know. I just feel like it would take a little pressure off.
I just wonder, if Disney's graduating date. Like, they have to be. I mean, obviously they are. They're having strategy meetings, you know, as far as to handle this. Yeah. Because, I mean, they have to see this coming, that this is going to be the biggest opening that they have ever, ever had. I mean, this is bigger than opening a full theme park. You know, the opening day of Epcot, the studios, Animal Kingdom, Pandora, whatever you have, nothing is even going to be close to the day they decide to turn the key on Galaxy's Edge. It's going to be crazy, I think. I mean, maybe I'm overblowing it, but I mean, I don't know.
I don't think you are. I've been thinking about this for a while, so.
I don't know. Yeah. All right. Well, we hope you enjoyed today's show, and we want to hear your feedback on the Facebook page. You know, we got a good long weekend here to talk about all the Star Wars buzz, and, you know, especially this last little discussion we had about Galaxy's Edge. What do you think is going to happen when it's time to turn the keys and let everybody in and see, get to walk through these places that you've only imagined? Of course, it's a new environment, but it's akin to what we've grown up with our entire lives, these amazing locales where we're going to get to interact with Star Wars universe. What do you think? What's it going to be like when it's time? Drop by the Facebook group at facebook.com/BRGuestPodcast. Don't forget today's episode brought to you by the folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. They are an earmarked platinum agency. They're going to take great care of you. An agent will get back to you right away. When you drop by, you can see the specials over there on the website. And while you're there, fill out that free no obligation quote form. An agent will get back to you. You'll be planning that next vacation and they're going to help you. Don't worry. They're all Jedi when it comes to travel agents. No Siths. All Jedi is getting you great prices. They love to get you in that, you know, the perfect package to make your vacation the best it can be. You know, and it's just a side story. I can tell you that it's great to just have an agent there advocating for you. This past weekend, we had an unfortunate circumstance where I had a guest and the kid got a stomach bug. And of course, you know, kids share everything, shared it with the entire family. They got a little ill, didn't want to fly, and we were able to work that out. They didn't have to do anything. You know, they just got to rest and recoup. We booked them an extra night there at their hotel so they could just kind of, you know, they didn't want to fly sick. And, you know, that's one of those things that, you know.
I've been there. That's not fun.
You know what? Ooh. I mean, it wasn't hard for me to do. That's my job as a travel agent. But, I mean, if I was in the other person's shoes, you know, like, it's good to have somebody else besides you when you're not feeling well to be able to arrange an extra night at the hotel so you don't have to, like, worry about all that stuff because you just need to worry about getting better. So that's what the agents do each and every day over at the Magic for Less. So just think about that. It's good to have an advocate there on your trip. Costs you nothing extra. So just drop by themagicforless.com today. Also, when you're doing that online shopping this weekend, and guys, it is crunch time for Christmas here. It's I can't believe, like, it's, like, less than 10 days away. When you're doing that online shopping, use our Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. We'd really appreciate that. You'll get all your Prime benefits. Cost you nothing extra. And it really does help support the show. So again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon as you do your online shopping this weekend. Follow the show on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike as well. All right, time to get out of here and let you go for the weekend. Hopefully you're having a fun Star Wars weekend, getting out there and seeing The Last Jedi. No spoilers here. Try to keep it cool for those folks that don't get out there right away. Be kind on social media. Don't tell everybody that, somebody dies or somebody goes to the dark. I don't want to, and you know me and my social media, I used to be terrible with Big Brother. I'd spoil things all the time because I had live feeds. I've learned. I'm cool. So you be cool too. Let's all be cool. Let's all be Jedi.
Thank you for being cool, Mike. We're all going to be cool. We all appreciate it for those of us who don't necessarily get to go to do things, you know, opening weekend or whatever.
I know. Well, I'll text you. You know, it could be true, could not be true.
I don't care. It's me. I don't even know the difference between Resistance and, Dark Side.
That's true. It'd be lost.
I wouldn't be able to tell you half the people anyway, so it's fine.
No, good deal. It's fine. What you do on your text messages and iMessage, that's totally up to you. You can spoil your friends all you want. Just don't put it on Twitter and Instagram and all that. All right, so we're gonna get out of here. Hope you have a great weekend. So for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. May the Force be with you, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.